Hello and welcome to the Rare Disease Cell and Gene Therapy Weekly Roundup. I'm your host, Aparna Krishnan. Throughout February, Partners for Access is running a campaign to mark the annual Rare Disease Day on February 28. The 6P campaign is aimed at creating awareness on the impact of rare diseases on key stakeholders and the need for partnership to achieve successful treatment access for patients. The 6Ps are partnership, patient, policymaker, physician, farmer, and payer. This week, we focus on the payer, who are decision makers, assessing the value of a product in the healthcare system. Earlier this week, I spoke to Einar Andreasen, who is a senior advisor at the Norwegian Medicines Agency. So many thanks for participating in this podcast, Einar. This is a special campaign by Partners for Access, the 6P campaign. And so let's start by introducing yourself. If you could say a few words about what is your day-to-day role? Where are you in this whole healthcare system as a stakeholder?
My name is Einar Andreasen, and I'm a senior advisor at the Norwegian Medicines Agency. I am responsible for HTA health technology analysis of new drugs, and also a reimbursement decision maker for the national insurance scheme in Norway. Basically, I had done a lot of health technology assessments for rare disease drugs. These are usually reimbursed by the hospitals. So the hospitals have the final decision over reimbursement for these kind of drugs.
So in terms of issues that are related to rare disease and orphan drugs, what issues do you think are the main challenges that are there as a payer in the system?
No, I think it's important to remember that the payers are responsible for all of the treatments to all of the patients. So young and old, women and men, regardless of past health and regardless of financial capabilities. So the aim is to bring as good treatments and caring to as many as possible. But this has to be done within a fixed budget. So this means that the payer needs to consider every time there's a launched a new drug that some resources need to be redirected to this new treatment. And the consequence of that is that the payer will use this money on the new patient, but it could have been used on other patients. So since money only can be spent once, other patients will lose their treatment every time a new drug is introduced to the reimbursement scheme. So we sometimes say that we don't pay for drugs with money, but with the help of other patients. So the payer's concern is that a new drug should bring more value and greater value than the value lost of introducing a new drug. And this has to be done in every single decision making for reimbursement of a drug, also for rare disease drugs. What we think is that it's important that we have some kind of guiding principles for valuing this new drug, otherwise this prioritization will be more random. And patients with identical needs may receive different levels of treatment. These value principles should be embedded in the public opinion and shared with public opinion. That would be the best. And in Norway, we have established these value criteria, and these are approved by Parliament. So these are actually then democratically anchored, and we find that strength in Norway. But the question is, should rarity bring additional value itself? And this has been a subject to a lot of debate. And in Norway, there was a government-appointed commission of experts, and they advised us not to put extra value on rarity. And this may be explained by some simple examples. Assume that there are two patient groups with identical needs for treatment. The two diseases are equally severe. Should one of the groups be prioritized to the other based on the population size? Or if one of the groups have a rare but not very severe disease, should it be prioritized to another patient group with high need for treatment? So these are questions that need to be addressed and valued in every case. So, however, if the payers don't value rarity, then why should the pharmaceutical industry invest in treatment for rare diseases? And with small populations, that the potential return on investment is limited. So the advocates of for additional value on rarity argue that payers need to acknowledge that the price needs to be higher for the industry to have the right incentives to develop treatments for rare diseases. And I think many jurisdictions have some weighting of rarity as an additional value for assessing and deciding reimbursement for drugs for rare diseases. But then we come to the price of the drugs and also then thereby the cost effectiveness of the treatment. The cost effectiveness tells us how many patients you may treat as effectively. That is, if a patient gained one life year with a new treatment, how many life years would other patients gain by spending the same amount of money? So if you pay for a new treatment, how many life years is lost to other patients? Would we accept 3 life years, a 3-to-1 ratio? For highly severe and ultra-rare diseases, maybe we should accept higher, more life years lost to other patients. And in some of these ultra-orphan drugs, we see ratios that are more than 40-to-1. So it means that more than 40 life years lost for other patients for each life year gained of a rare disease patient. And this brings tough ethical discussions to the decision-making. And if we want to have equal assessment in each case, we need to make some kind of have some kind of guidelines on this. On top of this, it is difficult to estimate the benefit of treatments for rare diseases because with small patient groups, it may be difficult to perform informative trials. And as payers, we need to acknowledge this. And in Norway, we say that we accept less stringent requirements for the documentation of benefits for the treatment. Yeah, so we experience that the quality of the documentation provided by the pharmaceutical industry is poorer than we see in other cases where the trials are more informative. It may be difficult and time-consuming to find and enroll enough patients into a trial when there are few patients. And also, for ethical reasons, it may be impossible to have a control group within the trial. So this means that the data that we are assessing is less informative for the decision-making. And therefore, we need some supplement information, and this we have to find from clinicians and patients.
The new technologies that are now coming in with gene therapy, cell therapies coming in, do you see the HTA bodies having to again reassess their approach? Because these drugs are being priced at a premium than the traditional drugs were. Do you see a lot of dialogue now between payers about this?
These new treatments provide a potential of a cure. And this is maybe the first time we see drugs that do provide a potential of a cure. And there are also only one treatment. So if it works or if it fails to work, it's all the costs are put into one treatment. And there are obviously financial and difficulties in financing this and not really knowing the long-term effect of these drugs, because there are new. If they cured the patients, they would no longer need any more treatment. They may live healthy, good lives. That is obviously something that most payers will value very high. However, there may be that the effect will not last for as long as we hope. It may be that the health effect for the patient's well-being is not as great as we believe. So these kind of uncertainties are new in this kind of sense, and also somewhat difficult to handle, because they may come very, very long time from the decision making. And this is obviously a new challenge, and I think most payers are concerned with this. Mm-hmm. In terms of the cost and the health cost and the health relation, so to say.
So moving on to patient involvement, we've seen patient advocacy grow over the years, especially over the past few years in rare diseases. Where do you see the role of the patient in HTA decisions moving forward?
Yes, so especially for the rare disease area, as I said, there are very often less information about the disease, about the quality of the treatment. I think it's common for most assessors to ask for clinical expertise advice. However, it's not been that common to use patient expertise. Most countries are now exploring this field, and I think it's being more and more common to seek patient involvement in the assessment of a new treatment, especially for treatments where there are less information from the data and the trials that the company provides. And especially in the rare disease field, where you have such great variations within the disease, in many cases, you will have difficult for the companies to find a proper endpoint to measure the treatment effect. Are these endpoints really relevant for the patients? That is a very important question, and we need to explore this, and I think patient expertise are the best way to explore this. So we are looking into this in Norway, and I think we are hoping for a few pilots for this in this year, how to use patient involvement in the health technology assessment. But I know other countries have more experience and also different levels of involvement in the health technology assessment.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Einar, for participating in our podcast. And that's it for this week. Next week, you'll hear from Sanofi Genzyme's Jan Willem Schmitz on the challenges and partnership opportunities that pharma has with rare diseases. For more news and analysis, go to our website www.partnersforaccess.com. Subscribe to our podcast from iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and do share your thoughts in the comment section. Thanks for listening. See you next week.